Hey guys, and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds Talk Movies. My name is Taylor. I'm going to be your host today. Joining me is the one, the only, Tristan Benz. Tristan, you're sounding a little under the weather. How you doing?
I'm a tad under the weather, but you know, I just got to get some gamma infused in me, and I think I'll be right as rain.
That little gamma radiation's never killed anybody.
It's never hurt anybody.
We are also joined by Drew Garrison. Drew, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well, better than I was last week, so.
Good to hear that you're doing pretty well. Tristan, it sucks to hear that you are not feeling so great.
Only one of us can be okay at one time.
Apparently so. But also, I'm not sure how we're going to feel after this episode, because you clicked on the title. You know the deal. Today, we're going to be talking about She-Hulk Season 1. Here is a synopsis for She-Hulk Season 1, courtesy of IMDb. Quote, Jennifer Walters navigates the complicated life of a single 30-something attorney who also happens to be a green 6'7" superpowered Hulk, end quote. And here are some of the main cast for the film, along with director and writer credits. Again, this is coming from IMDb. We did this in Daredevil Season 3, our retrospective, and we're going to probably be doing this for any TV shows we watch, just because director and writing credits are really all over the place. So this might be a little chaotic. We'll see how it goes. As for who directed this series, Kat Corio directed episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, and 9. Anna Valia directed episodes 5, 6, and 7. Moving on to the writing credits, we have Jessica Gao, who wrote episodes 1, 2, and 9. Francesca Gales and Jacqueline Gales wrote episode 3. Melissa Hunter wrote episode 4. Dana Schwartz wrote episode 5. Kara Brown wrote episode 6. Zeb Wells wrote episode 7. Cody Ziegler wrote episode 8. It was created for television by Jessica Gao. Francesca Gales and Jacqueline Gales were also story editors. Dana Schwartz and Cody Ziegler were also credited as staff writers. She-Hulk was credited by Stan Lee and John Buscema. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Mm-hmm. The Hulk was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. As for the main cast, we have Tatiana Maslany as Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk. Ginger Gonzaga as Nikki Ramos. Malia Arya was the on-set She-Hulk reference. Jamila Jamil as Titania. Tim Roth as Emil Blonsky, a.k.a. The Abomination. Josh Segarra as Pug. Renee Elise Goldsberry as Mallory Book. Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, a.k.a. The Hulk. Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil. And Benedict Wong as Wong. We are a few weeks late with this, though, guys. And everybody has already shared their take on She-Hulk Season 1. Some thought the show was amazing. Some thought it was just a fun series. And some people thought it was the worst thing Marvel's ever done and should burn in hell. There is a plethora of YouTube videos either bashing the show or bashing the people bashing the show. And, you know, we can have a talk about that being an indictment of the internet as a whole. And just, you know, most of the time it kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Let's be real here, though, guys. We're not going to add anything new to the table today. But I do think we can still have a really fun episode going through this season. But before we do that, I have one question. What comic connections can you make between this series and the comics?
Drew, I'll let you start us off.
Well, I think the closest connection we have is the John Byrne run, since that is where Jen got her, really her fourth wall breaking. She became like the superpowered lawyer and everything. Like, technically she was superpowered when she was first introduced, because that's where she got her powers. But this is like where it became like her whole shtick, you know, She-Hulk attorney at law. And to be honest, I think that's all it takes from the Sensational She-Hulk run is pretty much where I think it starts and ends, because I don't really see any other connections.
Like, there's more than that. Like, Dan Slott broke down like a bunch of the inspirations and whatnot from the comics. Like, at least with the like the law firm that hires her in the superpowered division, like that comes from his run. A lot of the dynamic between Jen and Matt is very similar to the Charles Soule run. And actually, the even characters like Pug, he was the Dan Slott creation.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, her rivalry with Titania is just a longstanding thing in the comic, so that's a...
That goes a long way and everything. It's like, good God, don't look into Titania's comic history unless you want to start shedding some tears, because she honestly is just someone who got way into over her head. Jesus.
Is there anything more? Because I do think we're going to be talking a lot about the Daredevil-She-Hulk connection. Is there anything more to that as well in the comics?
Not really. Like, they're both superpowered lawyers and they're good friends.
Yeah, it's like She-Hulk's a little flirty with him, but that's kind of her thing. She's a playgirl, you know? She sees someone she likes, she says, hey, want a bone? And if they want a bone, she bones. So,
I mean, that is kind of also what happens in the season to great effect, so... let's go ahead and get into our general thoughts on season one. I want to start with Tristan here, because Tristan, I think you're going to be the most positive on this season on anybody on this panel. I want to get your thoughts on it first.
It's a good show. I liked a lot. Had fun. You know, didn't go in expecting much, because, I mean, I like... She-Hulk is a character that I like. I like her more than I like, you know, her more famous cousin, but... When the She-Hulk series was announced, I didn't go in there thinking, oh man, this is going to have huge ramifications for the MCU. Like, nothing's, this is going to change everything. This is going to be, you know, really building up towards the future of the MCU. And honestly, it did that more than I even expected it to, like with, you know, the way some characters were introduced and the way it reintroduced Daredevil. But, you know, no, I thought the cast was great. I thought the comedy hit more than I expected it to. I liked the smaller scale. And honestly, like, you know, for a TV show, like, I thought for the most part, her CGI was pretty solid. So, yeah, I liked it.
For me, I want to start off by shouting out a content creator who is way more popular than we probably have any hopes of being, and that is Christian Harloff, who is doing his own thing. And I've been listening to his reviews and what his team has been talking about with She-Hulk while the show was going on, and I found myself every week just going, I'm just 100% on board with what Christian Harloff is saying. And that's basically the gist. I'm not speaking verbatim for what he said, but he basically was saying that the show is very well made in some regards, and it's just, it doesn't hit for me. And that's what it kind of was. Like, this was a show that I loved the first 3 to 4-ish episodes. I loved episode 8, and every episode other than those, I just either disliked or I just heavily disliked. Like, it wasn't even I found it to be fine. It was just why am I wasting 30 minutes here? The comedy was hit or miss for me. I do find myself, like, it was entertaining some of the times, but then it's got that little bit of, like, too much Marvel humor that we talked about with Love and Thunder as well. To whereas, I think the worst thing this show had going for it is, I believe it was the first thing since Love and Thunder came out, right?
No.
Did it start? I'm misremembering, but did it start even before Love and Thunder came out?
I don't think it did. Hang on,
let me math. I don't know.
Either way, like, I think those two projects being so close to each other, I think it also hurt She-Hulk, to where I was just watching it and like, it's not the show's fault. The show can't be serious. It's just the nature of what I knew about She-Hulk as a character. It's like, you can't have this very serious show, but it was just, I was angling for anything that felt like the characters were set in some kind of reality, to where they felt like fucking people. Now, I'm going to have some very positive things to say, don't get me wrong. I'm not sure Drew will. Drew, what's your take on She-Hulk Season 1?
I think it did not know what it actually wanted to be besides a troll series, and I think that really hurt it. and it hurt me because, good God, I am a very big She-Hulk fan. I love the character, and much like Tristan, I do like her more than her more popular cousin. What really gets me is that I feel as though, like, they try to make She-Hulk, like, a self-insert for a lot of the writers in the room. I say that because it feels like they want She-Hulk to say certain things, and they don't think about what is gonna come out of, like, what the context is of her saying it, or her, the situation she's in. And it really hurts what they're trying to do for her, as in her series and everything. It also feels like that at times they just want to be a sitcom that just doesn't take anything seriously, and then at other times they want to be taken very seriously, and it's jarring to me. That was my problem. The other stuff that you mentioned, Taylor, is the stuff that got me. Like, this is a comedy that is really doubling down on the Marvel comedy, and it's like, it just does not hit for me.
To be fair, sometimes it did. Like, there was a few really damn good lines and really good moments in this show to which I still think about weeks later. Which I'm like, man, if it's just a middle batch makes it to where I don't want to go back and rewatch it, I think.
I'm trying to get to that because I really do want to enjoy some of the stuff with She-Hulk and stuff, but honestly, it's like any of the few jokes I laughed at, and I did rewatch the series, so, but any of the jokes I laughed at, I can't remember anymore. But I am very angry at the show. I will admit that. I am very angry at the show because this is one of my... Forget all the others that we have introduced coming. She-Hulk is one of the characters that I will ride or die for. It's like, she's one of my faves. And I didn't expect her to, like, change the MCU or anything. I expected to just have some fun with our female Green Lawyer, who's going to have some fun in the courtroom, who's going to have some interesting character moments and everything, and I just didn't get that. I will admit that maybe some of it is expectation, but it's like, I know for a fact that my dislike for She-Hulk does not just come from lost expectation, it also comes from the fact that this show is terribly written, and I will get into that. But, yeah, I can see people having fun with it, but I can also see where all the anger comes from as well. So,
see, the difference though to me, and this is what I wanted to get into next, and go ahead and get this topic out of the way so we can talk about the rest of the show, is the whole reaction to it, which has been this weird, this show sucks, or anyone who hates this show is an asshole talk that surrounded it. And the one thing I loved about the show itself is it did feel like the show knew what was going to happen with... Even with, I'm not calling out people who dislike the show who have genuine criticisms. There are also trolls out there who just dislike the show just because a woman is the main character. And I thought it was very smart to just get ahead of that and be like, yeah, you know, we are just going to go ahead and make that a point of the show. For the first season, we're gonna go ahead and get ahead of that. I thought there were some great jokes there. The Wong episode where she broke the fourth wall was like, it's like adding armor to our show for the week or something like that. Twitter armor for the week. Yeah. I thought that was really funny and stuff like that. And just the references around the trolling and like, hey, yeah, these people are idiots. To me, I just found it unfortunate that I think people took it too far online. I went like, hey, you know what? If you didn't like the show, that means you are one of those people. So,
well, the show kind of also did like put that in attention. It's like it even.
I never saw it to that extent. Now, again, I've seen the reaction around that, especially on YouTube, but not on. Like, I don't think anybody on the show was trying to go for that. It's just I think the reaction to it is what kind of irked me.
Well, I did look at reviews so that way I could see if maybe I just had, like, you know, the mantraspective sort of view. And there was a lot of interviews that really added to the fire. Like, Jessica Gao, one of the writers, she very much went ahead and said that she was trying to troll the trolls. And she outright stated that if you did not like the show, then you were kind of sucked. Basically, like you were one of the trolls that they were trying to piss off and everything. I'm not saying like all the writers have this feeling, because it seems like Jessica Gao was speaking for herself. Since some of the writers,
I mean, seeing as how she's also a comedy writer, like I also heard that, and I figured she was being sarcastic. Like,
I can't tell with her because sometimes she's being serious, sometimes she's being sarcastic. But my whole thing is like the ending pretty much makes the trolls the ultimate bad guy, and it's like, did you really have to focus entirely on the trolls? Because then it feels like the show was for the trolls, to piss off the trolls, and not really to let us have a fun She-Hulk show. And that was one of my things with the ending. It's like, come on. It's like, I get it. They're trolls. They're always going to be trolls. But it's like, this is like She-Hulk and everything. She's one of the fun characters you can just go and have fun with. Let's just have fun. And then it's like the fun is kind of taken away in the because of the whole side plot that they did with the trolls. So
I mean, I had plenty of fun, so I don't know what to.
Yeah, to each his own. But I didn't have fun with it because it's like, you focus so much on the trolls that it didn't feel like it was fun. Like, it was just like, oh, you're just really mad that they're gonna say something.
Tristan, what's your take on the reaction? Because I talked about this before with you guys. You guys are far more online than I am, so you've probably seen a lot more of it than I have. I usually just stick to basically YouTube, which has basically been nonstop. Phase 4 sucks. Here's why She-Hulk ruined the MCU. And then a few videos to where I feel like they've a little bit over-defended She-Hulk to an extent. So what's your take on the reaction?
Can I just say, please stop saying that a single show destroyed the MCU. The MCU had plenty of time to course correct. It has been a ton of stuff that makes Phase 4 suck. So just calm down. Calm down, guys. If the MCU sucks, then no, it's Grills, because of...
this one show ruined everything. It's not like there was never a bad movie in the MCU beforehand that people bitched about. An Iron Man 3 or a Thor the Dark World or a Thor Love and Thunder.
I mean, if we want to talk about shows that ruined the MCU, we should talk about What If and Moon Knight, but I digress.
Yeah, but go ahead, Tristan. Sorry to interrupt.
I like you say, Taylor, I am terminally online. And actually, I would say it's more than just the two things of this show sucks and anyone who hates the show is an asshole. There's also a third camp I've seen where it's like, hey, this is a good show. Like, if you don't like it, that's fine. Just calm down. Like, low expectations, which is where I was at, where, like I said, I wasn't going in, you know, expecting this to change the game. I was like, okay, I just expect something funny, low stakes, and I want to give a shit about the characters. And that's, you know, that's what I got out of it. And that's where I've seen a lot of the positivity come from is, you know, people who are also looking for those same, you know, just small stories and fun character dynamics and whatnot. So yeah, that's what I got out of it. I didn't have the perspective of like, oh, the whole show was just making fun of the trolls. I mean, that was a part of it. Like, that was a part of the side plot, because that is something that people have to deal with these days. So I thought that was, I actually found the whole side plot with the intelligentsia and whatnot interesting. I was like, oh, this is, what are they gonna do with the intelligentsia? How is this gonna play out? Like, what's the, you know, what's the real goal here? And then having it become like a, you know, revenge porn thing. I was like, oh, well, yeah, no, that's something that a lot of people deal with. That's something that I've seen people in my life deal with. So yeah, this is a thing that happens. Like, this tracks with everything we've seen with this, you know, group of villains before. Like, the way she...
I will say, that got a lot darker than I thought it would.
Like, it gets serious.
I couldn't imagine MCU, like, going that route a few years ago.
Yeah, no. And as for the comedy and, you know, comparing it to that with Thor Love and Thunder. See, it feels different for me in the sense that, and we talked about this on Thor Love and Thunder, my issue with the comedy in Thor and really just what they've been doing with Thor since Taika Waititi took over is I don't mind, like, comedy. I don't mind characters making jokes. I don't like it when the
character is treated as a joke. Your whole thing was Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame Thor was the perfect balance, correct? And
I mean, even then, I would have had him be more serious in both those movies, but that's just a personal preference thing.
In Infinity War, I think he was pretty serious. I think he was the perfect amount of
seriousness. Nah, he still made too many jokes in Infinity War for my liking. I mean, it was a better blend of the two, like you say, but like, I mean, I preferred how he was characterized in earlier movies, so, but whatever.
See, the reason I like Infinity War is that they make him deliver the jokes differently. Like, it's obvious he's trying to hide his pain, and he's trying to just deflect and everything, which is why I don't mind the jokes, because it's just him trying to hide it.
Well,
in
that's...
Endgame...
Yeah.
Yeah, in Endgame, it's like everyone's treating him as a joke. This guy is super depressed. It's like... No one's taking him seriously, or the fact that he really is, like, broken, and it just, like, really sours me on a lot of the characters, especially the ones who care about their comrades. It's like, Cap, you see a depressed Thor, like, completely broken, feeling like he's lost everything, and you're not gonna even talk to him, give him a Captain America speech?
Yeah, well, to be fair, in the comics, like, how many teammates have they had that had a mental breakdown and it got them all almost killed? Because they weren't there, like, being supportive. Honestly, that's pretty on brand with the Avengers, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. But as I was saying, the reason why I see this comedy is different than specifically Thor in the MCU is, sure, like, I'm fine with characters making jokes, but my problem with Thor and why this comedy felt different from Thor, you know, I didn't have that moment that you had, Taylor, was so much of what I dislike about the Thor comedy is, yes, Thor makes jokes, but they also treat Thor as a joke. Like, they make Thor the joke of what's happening. With She-Hulk, anytime it feels like they make her the joke, it's more of, like, a situational thing of people in the story reacting to her in this new sort of environment. Like, for the most part, like, yes, Jen makes jokes, but whenever it's something that treats her
for
as
example,
a joke,
she's
the straight man.
The trial with Titania, where she has to bring all her dates on the stand, and it's just this embarrassing moment for her, but at the same time, it's a little funny.
It's a little funny,
and it's also just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
here?
It's a little funny, but she's gonna win it. But she's still the straight man in that situation. Like, whenever the comedy is about her, she feels like the straight man, unless she's the one making a joke like, "Oh, my ass looks great in this," which is, you know, something She-Hulk would say and has said. So,
yeah.
You know, the comedy,
which was also the name of that episode,
regard.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, what was it? Mean, green, and straightforward into these jeans.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, that's a thing, generally.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that now. So, there's another joke that I like.
But yeah, that's kind of just where I was at with it. I see where people are coming from. The only side of it I don't see is, of course, just the morons who automatically hated the show before it came out. Like, and I don't mind the show for, again, going after them, because it's one of those things to where they knew ahead of time, and they're like, let's just go ahead and get it.
And it's not even... See, I think one of the things people are getting hung up about is they're acting as if the show making fun of trolls is just an indictment on people who are, like... who were already going to be hating on the show, but really it feels like they're poking fun of just a lot of assholes in general who just hate on anything with any sort of diversity. Like, not just specifically this show, but, like, any time, like, hey, guess what? Spider-Man, there's a black Spider-Man now, you know? Like, people are going to riot about that. Hey, look, there's a black Little Mermaid. Like, people get mad about that. Hey, this character is now going to be a woman. Like, people hate about that. Like, it seemed like it was taking a more macro jab at, you know, neckbeards than instead of just making fun of people like, oh, well, you're not gonna like She-Hulk because it's a woman. It's like, no, there's just assholes out there, especially when they have jokes with the villains being like, you know, or the intelligentsia saying, you know, I don't care that she's a woman, I just wish that she'd, like, earned it, you know, like shit like that. It's like, yeah, no, that's things people say about all sorts of things that aren't even nerd related. Like, it's just making a commentary on people who are assholes.
You remind me
and it's
too,
also
of the moment.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you reminded me of the moment with Pug, where that it was a really good part in the finale, where Nikki's trying to get Pug to act like an asshole. He just really doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way Pug acts. Josh Segarra. Well, we're gonna talk about performances. I've talked about many times about my love of Arrow. He plays Prometheus in Arrow season 5. He does a phenomenal job as just this terrifying asshole.
But then he plays
just
this.
The juxtaposition of that. He's got range, man.
He's got some fucking range.
So that was a really funny scene. Plus the part with the, oh, should I even have an AirPod in? Trust me, you're not gonna look out of place. Like, that was a really good one too. So again, I think the show's got good comedy. It has good moments. It's just, I kind of get where Drew's coming from, that it feels like sometimes that you're like, all right, let's go into the story. I get it. We got some good jokes out of that. Let's get into an actual story, whether you want that to be a sitcom with a lawyer sitcom, or whether you want that to be a romantic comedy kind of thing, whether you want it to be a superhero show, and the show never decides. It just keeps going back to that one well.
Yeah.
Here's the intelligentsia. And then they end up being the main villains, and we'll get to it when we get to the finale, but it felt like by the end of it, I was like, well, the whole season was pointless.
Well, may I, Taylor?
As long as you're not going to talk about the finale yet.
I'm not going to talk about the finale. So remember how I said that the show couldn't decide what it wants to be? The thing I keep getting from this show is that it wanted to be a lawyer show, but it also wanted to be like Slice of Life, which is a good combination, and adding the superhero element. But then it wanted to be like a comedy, but then it also wanted to be taken, it wanted to take it seriously with serious stuff. So it was trying to be a drama as well. And the rom-com, and then yeah, adding the rom.
All the way drama.
Not all the way drama, but you admit in the eighth episode they were trying to be very drama. But it's like I said, it's like it's just they try to be too much stuff at once, and I don't think it had the ability to nail all of it because it just did not know what it wanted to be, and it also kind of affected like the continuity because there are so many different things happening in these episodes that contradict each other. Like in the first episode, for example, we're told by Bruce, like, hey, us people with gamma, it's like we need like special inhibitors completely coded to us, and it's like it took me like months just to create my own inhibitor, and I'm like the foremost expert on gamma energy and Hulks and stuff. Then literally we have the Emil Blonsky episode, and it's like, oh, we can just make an inhibitor. And then it's like, Jay is like, I have an idea. And it's like, wait. But you guys said the inhibitor, but Bruce said the inhibitor took him, the foremost expert on gamma, months to make, and that it had to be calibrated towards him. And you just have one set for Emil.
Mephisto made it.
Mephisto made it, sure. But
I mean, to be fair, at least with that, I imagine
that's such a good.
I mean, Bruce knew that Blonsky was locked up. I imagine he would have had one. I mean, it is, and you're right, that is a plot hole, and this is me explaining it away. But it's not unbelievable to expect that Bruce, like, you know, had one set aside for Blonsky.
But then you gotta go with one for Jen as well.
I can't expect it to be won by Jen because Bruce left right afterwards. So
maybe he could have been working on it while they were training. Like he did say he was going to make her one.
No, he said he couldn't create her one, actually.
Oh, that's right.
I do want to make one comparison real quick and then we can move on to performances. And I hope I don't sound too much like the ending of Billy Madison with what you just said was so stupid at no point during your long rambling. But so please let me know if I do this. But over the past few weeks, I watched two series. I rewatched The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Oh, how is that?
It is. I don't want to.
It's the Kristen Bell show.
Give
right?
too much away. It's good.
Okay.
But it is.
That's all I needed to know.
It's not what you expect.
As now, expect Kristen Bell drinking wine.
Kristen Bell is amazing in that show. But besides the point. There's another show that came out recently called The Watcher on Netflix, which I watched. And I'm going to try to compare all three of these shows together. Let's see how this works. So, The Watcher was fucking awful because it had no idea what it wanted to be. It wanted to be this horror, but it wanted to be a Lifetime movie, but it wanted to be this suspenseful thriller mystery of like who's the one stalking these people in this house, what's going on, and nothing makes sense by the end and nothing gets paid off. If you haven't seen The Watcher yet, don't worry, save 7 hours of your life. It, trust me, just watch anything else. However, the woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window knew exactly what it was trying to be. And I'm not spoiling it at all, it pulls it off very well to where they're like, hey, we're not deviating from this. She-Hulk, I think, is more like The Watcher, to where it had so many, like, hey, we want to do this, 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 and this, And by the end of it, I found myself going, I don't feel like you really accomplished anything. If you had just picked one of them, I would have probably really enjoyed this. So that's kind of where I was at the end of She-Hulk Season 1 and rambling about two other shows at the same time.
Yeah, I do have to agree with that. I also, like, mentioned that the show is kind of horribly written. Well, not horribly. I'm going to say just badly written. But that also comes from the main premise, the Hulk lawyer being a major part of Jen's character and everything, and the writers admitting that they don't know how to write any lawyer or law type of show. And that kind of is a burning indictment against the show, because it's like...
Well, it's not as bad as the Witcher writers reportedly hating the books and games. But
yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah, it's not as bad. I'm glad that the writers, at least of She-Hulk, enjoyed the original source material and everything, because you can tell that they wanted to put some stuff in there. But at the same time, it's like, it's called attorney at law. You need someone who's at least an expert in law on your staff to help you write it. Because there are so many things in the show that just got me, because I have watched law shows, and there are some really good ones out there. Even one was put on to me, like, just this week that looks so good. But, it's like, you couldn't have, like, gotten any of any, like, lawyer or anyone who knew, like, law shows or anything to help you write, because the, courtroom scenes are the worst. And there's one in the finale, or a pseudo courtroom scene, and it just, like, none of it is actually a courtroom scene or law. It makes Judge Judy look like an actual lawyer room, and that's bad. That is very bad.
I enjoyed the court scenes. I thought they were good.
Episode 8 had a really good one.
Had a really good one because it was Charlie Cox. But
well, it was also like Tatiana Maslany and Charlie Cox. Like, yeah, it was seen to show like Matt Murdock is a really good lawyer, but I think they both did a good job in that scene, just going back and forth. Like, hey, we both know what the fuck we're talking about. Whereas some other scenes, it did feel like, what's going? Why is there a rabbit out of a hat? What's going on here?
See, I think episode 8 tricked you into believing it was good because yes, it. It has them saying interesting lawyer talk, but in actuality, they do not actually have them being good lawyers. At least Charlie Cox is seen to be a good lawyer because we don't see how his prep was. Well, we know Jen's entire prep was not even non-existent and everything. She doesn't analyze anything about her client. She doesn't try and figure out if he actually did burn a suit or everything. She's taking just his word for it. She doesn't do research. Nothing. And it's like, okay, you didn't even cross-examine your client at all, Jen?
So I want to talk about something that I think all three of us will agree on, and that is some really good performances in this show. Who were the standouts to you guys? For me, I think, even with the flaws that I think the character kind of has, and I think the show has overall, Tatiana Maslany was just a home run.
She's the star of the show. She really does.
Home run pick for Jen Walters. I think that Tim Roth. I thought Tim Roth did a fantastic job as Emil Blonsky for the changes that he made with the character. It did feel like he came into this with like a different energy that I really liked. Jamila Jamil, I'm kind of more disappointed with her just because it's like, it's her character that was misused, but I feel like she was putting everything she had into it because you can just see that in the scenes that she's playing up this Kardashian-like character up to like a 12, and it's kind of so over the top, it's funny. And of course, talking about Benedict Wong and Charlie Cox and their cameos, along with Ginger Gonzaga as Nikki and Josh Segarra as Pug. I thought they were the great two friends for Jen throughout the season. But who are the standouts to you guys? I just pretty much mentioned everybody. I think everybody did a really good job in this
show. Yeah, honestly, I was going to say, like, I mean, obviously Tatiana Maslany is the lead. Like, she's fantastic as She-Hulk, and I can't wait to see her again. But really, the whole cast was great. Like, down to her parents. Like, I look forward to seeing any and
oh, the dad was fantastic
again.
Mm-hmm.
Between the dad in this show and the dad in Ms. Marvel, I don't know who my favorite dad in MCU is. Like, it's very close.
I like the dad in this one better, because the dad in Ms. Marvel is still allowing his little girl to go out and fight interdimensional wars and stuff. It's like I always raise an eyebrow when
kids, Drew. Kids are gonna be kids.
I raise an eyebrow when the parents let the teenager go out to save the world when they are very not ready emotionally, physically, really anyway, besides having a superpower. I like Robin. But you have heard me say that Batman still is a sucky dad for putting Robin out there in the first place.
Drew's like, I never said I agreed with Batman's parenting skills.
Yeah, I never said that. The only Robin who I agree should be out there is Damian. And the only reason I let Damian be out there is because if Bruce doesn't have him by his side, Damian is gonna die anyway. He's the only Robin who would actively jump out and do crime by himself before Bruce ever got to him. So... And honestly, he would probably turn out to be an assassin and eventually kill Bruce, or try to kill Bruce, if Bruce didn't do it. So Damian is the only one.
Tristan, continue your performances.
Oh no, I was just, like, literally, my whole thing is, the whole cast really was great. Like, I mean, aside from Tatiana, I mean, I would say, aside from her, I think the standouts for me were Josh Segarra and Ginger Gonzalez as Nikki and Pug. Like, they were just really funny anytime they were together. I really liked the fashion designer guy, whose name I can't remember. He was very funny to me.
I call him Edna.
It did have big Edna Mode vibes. It was very accurate. And obviously, I mean, Charlie Cox is fantastic. Didn't miss a step.
Drew, what about you? Standouts?
So, I actually disagree, because I believe Jamila was greatest Tatiana for what she was given. Like, I honestly
Titania.
Just have a... Yep.
I've been doing Titania. That too. I can't.
Yeah. I believe that she was doing great.
No, she did great. It's just that the show, yeah, used, like, I thought she was going to be the main villain, and I think that's what they were, like, I think hinting.
Oh, no,
going
no,
up
no,
to it.
No.
And the show just went, nah, she's in 3 episodes. And I was like, what? All right.
Yeah, no, Titania should not be, like, the main villain. A rival for Jen? Yes. The main villain? Please, no. I do think, like, all the performances are pretty good, but my standout are, of course, Tatiana Maslany and Charlie Cox being a Matt Murdock, even if this is a different Matt Murdock than what we got before. But it's still close enough that I enjoy it, and I'm just now prepared that it's definitely going to be a different Matt Murdock we're getting in Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, no, it felt natural from where he was, like, from where he left things off. Like, he's finally at a good place in his life.
I feel like this Matt Murdock is a bit too cavalier with his identity. I mean, he's using his powers in the courtroom and then doing lawyer speak as Daredevil in front of a ton of witnesses. It's like, yeah, your secret identity just does not matter to you anymore. And that was still something he was
using the powers in the courtroom, sure, but like him knowing stuff about the law as Daredevil, like how many people are going to say, hey, you know who else is a lawyer? Matt Murdock. Like, that's just okay. He just
you know who's in the area that isn't his normal point of expertise at the same time as Daredevil? Matt Murdock.
I mean, a superhero knowing the law when they're running around like breaking the law, that honestly kind of tracks. It tracks,
but it's like it is like it does feel a bit more cavalier than the Matt Murdock we got before, but it's okay. It's like, I can see him being a little bit more MCU-ified, and I didn't expect him to actually be the sequel to the Netflix show. It's like, I just kind of saw it coming. But I will say, the one performance I did not like was Mark Ruffalo's as the Hulk. It does feel like
I've never liked him as the Hulk, so yeah, that's right.
I feel like before, at least... thought like he was trying everything, and the subtleties he gave Bruce Banner was like fun to me. Like,
he was great in the original Avengers. I stand by that.
Yeah, but I think it's like there was a realization in him that they're not going to do anything with the Hulk. Not really after a while, and especially when Taika Waititi took over for Thor Ragnarok, and we weren't getting like actual Planet Hulk. So do think like he just feels like, oh, I'm just this is just a paycheck now. So yeah, not my favorite, but everyone else I liked for their performances. They're good actors. They're really good actors.
I want to talk about Daredevil, and I have a question for you, Drew, because Tristan and I, we had a long conversation in our Daredevil Season 3 episode about how we felt about, because we had that episode after She-Hulk ended, so we were able to have that full context of where we knew the character was ending up in the MCU, and we had a long conversation about like how the character progressed in Season 3 and how we felt like it was pretty natural, maybe not all the way into what happens in She-Hulk, but for the most part, it seems like it's a natural, like, hey, I can understand why he's a little more lighthearted in this show. I want to ask you more about that. Before I do that, I do have two more things to talk about in the performances. I do agree about Mark Ruffalo, and it's been ever since I've seen more stuff about, like, Bruce Banner being more of a troubled character, and I'm like, I find that to be far more interesting than what he is right now in the MCU. Towards he's more of a comedy brute, which is a strange choice, but I guess you gotta use the character where you can. And I will shout out John Bass playing Todd, because he played a douchebag pretty well, because I just want to slap him in the face the whole show. So, credit to him there.
I do think his performance gives a little too much away, though, because it's like the moment he said, like, the moment, like, I saw him on screen, I was like, he's the main bad guy, isn't he? He's going to be, like, part of the reason why Jen's life falls apart, or he's going to be, like, the Hulk that's going to be created from her blood. Something's going to happen, because they just could not help themselves with the writing for him.
Now, here's my two questions for you, Drew. You were talking about earlier about Daredevil, you felt like it was a little MCU-fied. How do you feel like coming, because you did watch Daredevil Season 3, you just weren't able to appear on the show, unfortunately, for that episode. Yeah. How do you feel about the transition from Daredevil Season 3 to She-Hulk Season 1? Do you think that felt like a somewhat natural, more like lighthearted tone for Matt Murdock? And secondly, do you think it was a mistake for the show to tease Daredevil so early on in this season?
I'm going to answer the second question first. Yes, it was absolutely so. Because it's like, once you made that tease, it's like, should be next episode. And it definitely felt like they were dragging out to show Daredevil and everything. Because that was the thing, like, in all their marketing, they kept saying, Daredevil's coming, Daredevil's coming. It's like, okay, you guys did this so that way you could keep people watching the show. It's a good, it's a tactic that works, but it's still scummy. As for Daredevil's character evolution, I could see him being more lighthearted. I could not see him being this lighthearted, but maybe if, like, Born Again is, like, an in-between to show us him getting here. Because, you know, Born Again is a transition period for Matt Murdock, so I can see Born Again being the transition period from Netflix to MCU Daredevil. But I can see it happening. I cannot see, however, the minus 100 points on his charisma. I mean, did we forget the Elektra scene? This guy flirting with Elektra, or...
Oh, I can accept any criticism.
Yeah, I was about to say, bro, what the fuck are you talking about?
But we cannot be sitting here and talking shit about Charlie Cox's charisma.
That man was charming as fuck. Those two wanted to get down.
I'm not talking about Charlie Cox. I'm talking about Matt. When he's
we are also talking about Matt.
He was very charming. My nips were hard watching him flirt around, be like, oh, I can hear your heartbeat. I bet you can, Matt Murdock. Can you hear mine?
He is too bashful for the Matt Murdock from the Netflix series. It's like, that is a very big deal.
When is he bashful?
When he is talking with Jen, he is tripping up over himself, and that is like, that is not Matt Murdock. That is not Matt Murdock. If you had put it into that scene,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're.
I disagree heavily, but okay. Still though, yes, I do see like this could be a potential point for Daredevil. I just don't see it being immediately after season 3.
Tristan, do you want to give a quick recap of what we were saying there in the Daredevil episode?
This is him at his, like, probably best point in his life so far. I mean, this is also, like, season 3 was set in, what, 2019 is when it came out? 2018, something like that. So even aside,
I believe.
Yeah. So even aside from the 5 years of the snap, there's probably like a year you want there. So he's gonna be at a different stage in his life, and like things finally seem like they're going well for him. So I don't know. I thought it felt like a natural progression for the character, and I enjoyed it. and that's kind of where we landed.
See, I'm also with Tristan on that. The only thing that I think you also, we spoke about this too, Tristan, but the only thing that we both kind of sat there like was the flipping in the action scenes, which you understand why Marvel did that, and I felt like they still have to do it because you got to power them up a little bit. But in season 3, they do come out and be like, you know, you're never going to be doing those flips again. Yeah, that, I guess the action would be the only thing to me that I would kind of call out to be like, it might have powered them up a little bit too much. And that's coming from somebody who's Spider-Man and Daredevil is my top two favorite heroes currently in MCU right now. And I don't know how much they're going to power up Daredevil. Hopefully it's not too much, because I think that's partly the reason why everybody loves him, is he is that, I don't want to say every man, but he is more so like he takes fucking damage. Yeah, so hopefully they don't do that too much. That was my only complaint for it. Let's see how that goes in Born Again.
Yeah, the flips and stuff weirded me out, but another thing that weirded me out was the yellow-red. I don't know why they harken back to it for here. I don't know if they're doing it in Born Again. I hope not, because
the rumor has it that the Born Again's going to be like his black and red suit, like almost inspired by Shadowland and the Charles Soule run.
I'm fine with that. But yeah, the power up to Matt, it's like I know it's necessary and everything, so I wasn't too bothered by seeing him do it, and I kind of did expect it because they're trying to power up all the characters that are being introduced.
All right, we're about to lose Tristan here in a few minutes. He can only stand about an hour to be on a podcast today because of him feeling under the weather. I'm so I want to get a few more thoughts from him specifically. Now, what are your thoughts on the Daredevil episode, Tristan? And then we'll get your thoughts on the finale. Wait, and any episodes you liked or disliked.
Touched on the Daredevil episode a bit when we were talking about season 3 of Daredevil, but I mean, it was one of my favorites. I enjoyed it. Thought they had great chemistry, and it was a nice official introduction to him back in the MCU after No Way Home. What other episodes are like? Really liked the Wong episode. I loved Madison with a Y and two N's. Two N's and a Y, but it's not where you think. I need more of Madison in the MCU. If we can get her
her and Mephisto.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, I mean, hey, she was in the demon realm. I was gonna say get a spinoff with her and Wong, but you know, that works too.
Apparently she is Wong's official girlfriend now, or best friend. They haven't really decided.
There you go. Really liked the retreat episode. Liked the way that all the little D-list villains were actually there for Jen. I thought that was very sweet and also simultaneously very funny. I mean, in general, there was no episode that I disliked. Like everyone else, the immediate episode right after the Daredevil tease, when it wasn't about Daredevil, I was like, oh, you got me excited, but that's not that. You played me? Okay, well, there you go. But then she said it's a fun, self-contained wedding episode, and she's like, that might be very annoying to you because it's coming out of nowhere, but that's how weddings are. I'm like, you know what? All right, sure, I see what I'm in for now, and I thought all that was funny.
But Tristan, didn't you feel that, like, if it was just that one, I would be right there with you? But then it would continued with like 3 or 4 more episodes before we get Daredevil.
Well, no, by that point, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna not count on Daredevil showing up the next. That was a reminder to me of like, oh yeah, this is She-Hulk. This isn't Daredevil. I'll get Daredevil eventually. For now, I might as well just be entertained by these characters. Like, I didn't really think too deep about it. And also, as someone who is terminally online, I found it very amusing watching all the people like, I'm only watching for Daredevil. This sucks. Like, I've found it amusing watching them get annoyed every week. So,
admittedly, it's like, why are you just watching for Daredevil? In fact, why even continue watching? Just wait until you hear that Daredevil appears in the series.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know.
Lack of common sense on that part.
Yeah. As for the finale, I know a lot of people didn't like it. I was not one of those people. I really enjoyed it. It was a play on not just the MCU formula, but just I feel like the formula we've gotten specifically from the Disney Plus shows that I was like, oh, that's, yeah, like I'm glad they at least are aware that this is a pattern that people have you know, caught on to and are kind of getting tired of. I thought the Kevin stuff was funny. I really that whole scene with Jen and Kevin, like, that I think was probably my favorite bit of Jen humor in the whole show, when she's like, you know, I'm a Hulk, I smash walls and glass ceilings, and sometimes Matt Murdock, I'm like, huh, nice. Or when she's like, when are we getting the X-Men? I'm like, all right, Jen, you're out here, man. You're going up on my list of favorite MCU heroes. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I see people saying, oh, it just ruined the storylines, like, there's no payoff, they did it just for a joke. I'm like, eh, I don't know, like, none of the what she asked for resolution felt like it wouldn't have happened anyway with the way the stories were going. So it's like, it just felt like an interesting way of getting there.
I know we only got a few minutes. I'm trying not to ask you too many questions, but I feel like this is something because I was one of those people. This was kind of in reverse a little bit for Moon Knight, because I was one of those people that really liked Moon Knight. You really didn't like Moon Knight, and I think Drew was the one in between. So
mid-ass show. I don't know. Did you? I don't know if you read my review for Moon Knight, but when I sent it to you, I said Moon Knight more like midnight, for anyone who's curious about how I feel about that show. I see
what you did there. But I would compare this a little bit to the ending of Moon Knight, to whereas, yes, they do this very bold take on an ending, to where it's like, oh my god, see, it's, you're not even getting to see the very, very tail end of the final fight. This, however, I think is far worse, just because they said fuck it to a whole season. So, I mean, you had no problems at all, though, with them just going, scrap it.
No, it felt on brand for the character. Like, it felt on brand for what we'd seen so far. And I wasn't necessarily expecting a big, you know, the way they'd been setting up the intelligentsia the whole time, I wasn't expecting a big fight. Like, it did not seem like something that was going to be resolved by her beating anybody's ass. So I was just like, oh, okay, I'm interested to see where this goes and how she confronts them and how it gets on with that. And then that moment where you have like, oh no, now Todd's giving himself something. Like, oh no, now Bruce is trying to fight Abomination. It felt like, it was like, oh, okay, that's, now it's just devolving into a big fight, which is what these shows always do. That's kind of eh. And then she stopped and was like, no, wait, we're not doing that. It's like, oh, okay, cool. This is interesting. How are we going to resolve this?
Yeah, at least Hulk Pro got erased, at the very least.
Yeah,
because that kind of doesn't make any sense if you think about it for too long. But what are your final thoughts and your final pros and cons on?
Final thoughts. I really enjoyed it. It's, I think Loki is probably still the best Disney Plus show in terms of structure and whatnot, but this is probably my favorite Disney Plus show. I thought the cast was great. The humor really worked for me in a way that I wasn't expecting to. There was no episode for me personally that I didn't enjoy. And cons, I don't know. Everyone arguing about it on the internet's very annoying to me, and I'm tired of hearing about it. And I just, pros, I enjoyed the show and I had a good time. There you go. So follow me on social media, @BackIssueBens, and go read my stuff at Screen Rant. There you go.
All right, Tris, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, man. I do hope you're feeling better very soon, and we can get you on for the full episodes here in the next few weeks, because we got something that's Tristan-centric coming up.
That, I mean, let me see. By that point, I was looking at the schedule earlier. I imagine I'll be alive by then. You know, we'll see what happens. But assuming the seagulls don't take my voice, then...
But go ahead and hop out of here, man. Hope you have a good week, and we will talk to you next week, man.
Bye, bitches.
Drink plenty of water, man.
And tea. Don't forget the green tea. Green like Hulk. Bye-bye.
All right, Drew, let's go ahead and kind of circle back a little bit, because we'll get to our own thoughts on the finale and everything here in a minute. I want to talk about just our favorite / least favorite episodes before we get into the finale. For me, again, the favorites for me are the first 4-ish, and then the episode 8, of course. I think the Daredevil episode was the best episode of the series. I found the first few episodes to be really good, because they felt more like these characters were rooted in some sense of reality, and they felt like actual characters, to whereas Tristan was talking about just a second ago, the retreat episode. That's where they lost me. And for all these new D-list heroes to be thrown into here, and I'm sitting there like, where did they come from? Like, this is the MCU. They
didn't
the mutants aren't even a thing yet in the MCU. Are these mutants? Are these Asgardians? Or what is this? And that's another thing throughout the whole show that I started to think about. Whether it be the Asgardian elf, which that was a really funny bit. I can't remember what episode it was. But where Pug had to defend that douchebag lawyer Jen was working with. And it was this Asgardian elf pretending to be other people. I thought that was really funny. But then you had somebody who didn't die, who was just immortal. I think his name was Mr. Immortal.
Yeah.
And while that was funny at the time, after the episode ended, I started thinking about it, and I was like, wait a minute. Where are these people coming from? This is the, again, this is the MCU. There's no explanation for how these people are the way they are. And you go to like something like DC that's starting to basically refresh. I think they have a little more leeway to introduce characters and be like, we don't have to give the full explanations. The MCU, you're so far in at this point, you got to.
Yeah, see, this is what I was worried about, because I was like, they're just going to introduce people with powers, and they're going to say mutants were here the whole time. And I was like, when I saw She-Hulk, I was like, yeah, this is happening. This is how we're getting mutants, this is how we're getting all the other stuff. And it's like, they've been here the whole time, and it's like, yeah. Honestly, this is going to probably start checking me out of the MCU's pretty quick, but to answer your question, my favorite episode was episode 8, because Charlie Cox improves everything. My least favorite episode was episode 1, however. I think it's She-Hulk starts off on its worst foot, and that really comes down to how Jen is portrayed, mostly, and also, like, again, Mark Ruffalo is just not taking this as seriously as he could be, because, you know, he's realized, yeah, I'm not going to get anywhere with this role. It's just my best paycheck.
So let's talk about the finale real quick. Let's talk about our thought. Well, see, it's hard to talk about it because the beginning of it is so depressing and, like, really sad. And then we get to the part with the Disney Plus, and then the show completely flips on its head. So I feel like the best way for us to cover this finale is to start like they're two different episodes. So let's talk about the beginning of it first. I did enjoy how it felt like for the first time all season we had stakes. What upset me about this is that, what's the guy's name? The guy who
Todd?
Recorded... No, the guy who recorded Jen.
Oh, I do not remember. He is literally one and done. I don't think he even reappears.
That's my problem with it, right fucking there. The guy who recorded them having sex and then posted it to the public, while Todd is definitely the one who hired him and the main villain of the season, definitely should be the main villain of this episode based on what they did for this show. You don't bring the other character back to get comeuppance?
Yeah, where is
nothing happens to him, even though he's the one who actively did something? I want to see that motherfucker get arrested.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Yeah, I think his name is Josh, if I'm recalling. I hope I'm right about that. But yeah, that is a good point. It's like Josh doesn't get any repercussions or anything. That is, like, very much out of left field. It's so weird that they would, like, have that be a big reason why she goes full, like, Hulk mode, and it's like, yeah, we don't get anything on Josh? Nothing?
When she gets arrested, that's what I thought, who I thought it was that she grabbed, was gonna be Josh, and it wasn't. Like, Josh is nowhere to be found for the rest of the season after he disappears and you see that clip. And that's just, it's so unsatisfying, and it continues throughout this whole episode to me, because we go down this very depressing avenue with Jen, which is interesting for the character, because it's her being like, I finally embraced both sides, I just had this awesome team up with Daredevil, I just hooked up with Matt Murdock, I'm going to, her mindset seemed to be after that 8th episode was, I'm going to help people as Jen Walters as a lawyer, and then I'm going to help people who got failed by the law as She-Hulk. So you're like, oh, cool, but now that just got taken away from her. So, cool, we got something for this finale to work towards. And from that point on, we get just an absolutely just horrendous finale, in my opinion. I get and I appreciate the decision they made with the Disney Plus thing. I said this with Moon Knight as well. You and I were talking about Moon Knight off air like months ago when that happened. And we were talking about, hey, I don't necessarily know if I liked it, but I appreciate the decision for them to jump cut to the end of a fight to show, like, hey, the third personality did this. With this show, it's what I was telling Tristan. It was so much worse because they said fuck it to not just the tail end of a final fight, not just the final fight, but an entire season storyline. The only thing that mattered in this season were two things: Daredevil and the bare bones story arc with Jen Walters. Only two things that really mattered. Everything else just, it's pointless. Like, if you found fun in it, cool. If you hated it, cool. But if you're looking for anything satisfying in terms of a storyline, anything for what She-Hulk could be doing in the future MCU, you ain't gonna find that here. And I think as far as we are in Phase 4, as far as we are getting into what the Avengers Kang Dynasty needs to be, what Avengers Secret War needs to be, and getting hype back on for the MCU, that is just a missed opportunity. It's a massive missed opportunity. And I get the appeal to want to do the fourth wall break, because she's done it in the comics before, and people keep going, oh, she's like Deadpool, and the thing is, apparently she was the first one to do it, not Deadpool, so she's the originator of it. Understand all that. But just because you point out the flaws of the MCU, just because you point out, like, hey, this was every MCU show does it the same way, it doesn't make it good. Like, as that was, we did a Clash at the Stash months ago, and that was with y'all's criticism of my Deadpool pitch. Is I went after, like, MCU formulas, and you were like, ah, just because you pointed it out doesn't automatically excuse it. And that's a very fair point.
I totally agree with that, especially since these are, like, Hollywood paid writers and everything. The thing, though, that is that I don't like the idea of saying, like, the Disney Plus shows all ended with a big fight spectacle, because technically, yes and no. I think the problem that people are getting is that the superhero formula is that the end fight is like a huge spectacle, and it's like, okay, sure, you can say that, but what does that actually mean? Because the end fights normally are supposed to be like the culmination of their character arcs. It's the ideology or the or your character development fully being realized. Hawkeye's end fight isn't great because it's Hawkeye using all the trick arrows. It's because it's Hawkeye embracing being a superhero and realizing that his trauma does not make an excuse for him to just to give up or to just say, like, oh, all these problems can just go away because I've decided to step away from it. It's like, no, those problems will always go and follow you home.
Or Daredevil season 3, to whereas the entire ending triple threat match between Daredevil, Kingpin, and Bullseye, it all culminates in that end scene where Matt is about to snap Fisk's neck and he can't do it. And it's the entire season of him essentially being born again, of regaining his faith, regaining his humanity and his friends, his family, and all that stuff, and being like, no, you're not going to destroy who I am. I beat you. And that's not some, like, that's not, like, bad. That's one of the best endings to a superhero television show I've seen. And it doesn't have to be a big final fight. It could also be,
like, for example, Loki.
Like Loki season 1, where it's a explanation, but it's an explanation fans have been wanting, and they were theorizing. And it really delivered, because not only was it fan service, but it felt like the audience was paid off for them paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And with She-Hulk, it was the opposite to me. Whereas I felt like I was being insulted, not any of the troll shit. Fuck that. Like, yeah, talk all sorts of shit to a bunch of trolls who think this show sucks just because a woman is the main lead. Fuck them. But because the show said, hey, you want a main storyline? We're not doing that. then why am I watching your show? Like, you're so far into it. You're not doing
what's the point?
It's what you were talking about, Drew. They wanted to be a sitcom. They wanted to be all these different things, but they don't pull the trigger on any of them. So by the end of it, I can't go back and be like, well, it's just a funny lawyer show. She's in the courtroom for like four scenes, it feels like. I wish it was more. I think the show might have been a little better if it was just a straight up Law and Order spoof.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I was hoping for with She-Hulk, being completely honest. I honestly expected that this would be one of those things where, one of those shows, where there wasn't going to be a lot of fights. I expected there to be 2 to 3 fights throughout the entire show before I first watched it. Because She-Hulk is not about that. She's a Hulk. She's going to be able to instantly KO most of the people out there. My whole thing was that I wanted to see Jen focus on being a lawyer that now has to deal with superpowers and magic and stuff being a part of her world. The superhero law division. That's what we're going to focus on. How is superpowers going to affect the world and law? And honestly, She-Hulk technically did do one of the things I was expecting it to do. It just didn't do it really right. Like, the Sokovia Accords get repealed, something that was a huge deal. It's the reason Thanos won, and they're repealed off screen. When you have a show about a superpowered lawyer dealing with superpowered people being in your show, you're telling me that's not gonna be like the end goal or end product or even just an episode?
Yeah, I mean, I really get it from that perspective. At the time, watching with Matt pointing out the Sokovia Accords were repealed, I was like, oh, cool, finally got an answer on that. But you do bring it up, and yeah, it could have been a bigger deal than what it was, because, like you said, how big of an effect it has. Like, it's not like Thanos was waiting until the Sokovia Accords and was like, let's attack. But it's one of those indirect consequences. To whereas, because that happens, Zemo breaks apart the Avengers. Because the Avengers are broken apart, they're not ready for Thanos the way they are. And then both Captain America and Iron Man lose their respective fights. And yeah, so you got a very good point with all that. And they possibly could have done something there. And this isn't just this isn't Clash of Stash. We're not going here and rewriting. It's just,
yeah, it's not a what.
You're sitting there and you're going, missed opportunities that you could have done. And what this show could have been if you went in one direction instead of trying to be a billion things. And then in the finale, you pull the rug out and you go, we're not going to do any of it. Don't get me wrong. Them erasing Hulk Bro from existence is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Honestly, that never should have made it to the writer's room, honestly.
Well, see, I do get it for the take on Jen being... That's the saving grace of this show is Tatiana Maslany as Jen Walters. She is so fucking good in this role. Like, she is so funny. Her fourth wall breaks, while I sometimes find it to be a bit too much, still really funny. Like, even the part where she just stops everything. She's like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, is this what you guys want to see? This is not what I want to see. She just, like, goes out and talks to the writers. I think that is a dumb decision. I found it funny as hell, though. Her talking with Kevin was awesome. I love the whole... It spoiled me, though, because I have subtitles on, and Disney Plus had Kevin in as an acronym, so I got spoiled on that beforehand. But I wonder if it was a thing where Kevin Feige didn't trust himself or didn't want to be on screen.
But I feel So I do actually have the answer, because Kevin actually did not want it to even be Kevin, because Kevin was like, he told, what's her name? Jessica Gao. He told her he didn't want to be part of the She-Hulk finale, and he actually was trying to vie for it to be a courtroom case. And like Jessica Gao said in an interview before, it's like they didn't know how to write courtroom cases, so she wanted it to be meta. And she actually rewrote the scene apparently 90 times, but she fought for it to be Kevin.
I kind of thought it would have been... I wonder what Kevin Feige's thoughts were on it exactly, but if you were going to do it, it would have been pretty cool, a nice nod, a nice show of like, hey man, you know, you weren't the one who created these characters. That was a lot of very amazing people who created these characters that we're loving today on the screen. But you are one of the main people who brought them to the screen in the way they are. So I thought it would have been really cool to kind of put him in the MCU in that way. And this would have been the perfect time to do it. But the whole Kevin machine thing, yeah, that makes sense too in terms of what they were going for the joke. And again, very funny. What Tristan was talking about it in his thoughts when she's talking about, oh, when are we getting the X-Men? That's all hilarious. It's awesome. I also would like to know when we're getting the X-Men.
Agree. But, like, that was mine in our class of the stash. It's like, I want to introduce the X-Men.
When she's also talking about she's leaving, and well, one of the other funny bits is, can you turn back into Jen? Why? Because you're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, our team has already moved on to another project, and then the Black Panther Wakanda Forever theme starts playing.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, where Kevin tells her, like, get ready for your major MCU debut in a movie or something like that. And she's like, really? He goes, no. Just cuts. It's like, well, fuck. All right. See, all that's hilarious. But then it's my problem is it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I think to the point is at the end of the day, like, it's hilarious, but they're just jokes.
Yeah. And if that's what your show completely wanted to be, sure. But I think in the MCU where we are, I'm not sure we can do that right now. You know, it's just, I'm not sure we're in that place where it could just be this comedy and nothing happens and nothing of stakes happen. It's always a build up to something. Basically, this is a show that is completely coming in at the worst time. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, especially since, like, this is technically, like, you're technically back to phase one, but not entirely. Like, you still have stuff to deal with. But I think I do agree. My biggest problem with it is that it just really, like, even as a sense of, like, doing the whole, talking to your God, your all-knowing God, who will tell you everything you need to know and everything, and they'll be able to change stuff for you, because that's what's happened in Loki, and Moon Knight, and, wow, this actually is a lot of the MCU shows. Maybe there is a
formula. Again, you pointing out the problems of the thing does not fix that thing. You're still committing the problem.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say as well, on top of this, is that I think if we went back, when she makes the changes and we're going back to, in which she has a very good point, and this is another reason I had no problem with Intelligentsia being the villains, because she's like, look, Hulk-bro right here isn't the villain. He doesn't need superpowers to be the villain. They're the bad guys. Like, we don't need anything more than that. To which I went, watching this, I'm like, fucking fantastic. Let's do this. Let's get back to a court case and let's wrap this shit up and we're good. This would actually be a pretty good lawyer show ending right here. And what it does instead of that is it literally picks back up after everything, where they've already all gotten arrested, and all of a sudden, because she also said, hey, I would love to see Matt Murdock again. This is my one problem with Matt Murdock, is he literally just comes from the sky. He just drops out of the sky like it's nothing. And I'm like, what? Oh my. It's too. There is a such thing, I think it's too meta.
Yeah.
And I think the finale went there. And I think if they just did the thing where you're going, let's see the aftermath. Let's go to the court case instead. Let's have Matt be there at the court case or something like that. If she wanted to see Matt again, that would have been really cool. Instead, it felt like they just lazily threw everything together at the end.
Yeah. And what's the saddest part is that, ironically, it also leaves a big punching hole opening question. Because Jen's in her She-Hulk form in that ending. She went against her parole, which means she should also be going to jail. She took off her inhibitor and still went She-Hulk, which means she should also be suffering from the consequences she wants Emile to suffer from. So it's like, that's a bit of a problem.
See, I can kind of explain that one away. Possibly it could have been a thing where, hey, look, you caught him. Look, you're absolved of all charges by that point. But we just don't see it. So it's still the show's fault for not telling you that. Let's go ahead and get into our final pros and cons along with our final thoughts. We've kind of We kind of summed that up already, I think. Pros for me would be just a cast across the board. There was some really good comedy bits. I talked about it throughout this episode, including the finale. I did enjoy a lot of the breaking the fourth wall in this show, even though that I found it after the fact to be like, well, that was kind of pointless. And that's the big con, is this whole show felt like a waste of time to me. Even though it was entertaining, this is the MCU we're so far in, I don't know if that's something I'm looking for anymore in terms of MCU content, especially considering we are, what, supposedly 3 years away from Avengers Kang Dynasty and 3.5 years away from Secret Wars?
We are 4 years away from Secret Wars. I think the Kang Dynasty is first.
And you think about where we are right now. We have a Daredevil who's about to get his own show. Daredevil's probably the best person right now in terms of character development, where we know where they're going. Shang-Chi is, I don't know what the fuck Shang-Chi's doing, even though I really enjoyed his movie.
Yeah, he is not slated for any movies anytime soon, so.
But then you have the Eternals, whatever happens with the Celestials there. Then you have, you know where I'm going with this, right? You got the Loki stuff, you got whatever Captain America and all the more gritty characters. Like, what is Bucky going to do? What's the Thunderbolts going to be? We got Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross now taking over. What does this mean for Black Panther? I doubt, and this is just me looking at trailers, I haven't seen the movie yet, I'm 99.99% sure Shuri's going to be the Black Panther. Is she going to stay Black Panther for good? Is it going to be something else later on to where they get another character to come in? Is there going to be multiple Black Panthers in Avengers movies? Like, there's so many questions. And She-Hulk wasn't going to answer any of those questions. Like, there's also another Spider-Man movie that's going to come out at some point, you would assume, with Tom Holland, and what Sony's going to do with their Spider-Verse. But it's not like She-Hulk was going to answer all those questions. But you could have done something to lead us into one of them.
Or it's like, at the very least, it's like we at least see how the Marvel Universe is shaping. Because even if She-Hulk can't answer where the next movie or TV show was going to be,
where does this leave her? Where does she go? Like, I don't even know where she fits into the Avengers. All we know is, like, she's cool with Wong. And that's it. Like, Wong is her in to the Avengers. That's it. That's all we can kind of glean from this show. Is how
that's
she gets
if she's technically an Avenger.
And also her cousin, who's back now with a son. Drew, what are your final pros and cons and your final thoughts?
So, much like you, bro, I love the cast. I like them all. My cons, the writing, that ending. But I still can see why some people like this. I just also understand why a lot of people didn't.
Let's go ahead and move on to what we're working on and where can people find us. Drew, what you're working on, where can people find you?
I am still recovering, so basically you can only... Basically, you will only be able to find me here for now, because I have gone a long time without uploading something to my Instagram and Twitter, so I am sorry about that, but I will be back, hopefully, by, my doctor says I should probably wait till the end of November, because there was a bit of a complication, but I am still going to be on this show, I'm still going to be watching shows with the Nerd Stash, and honestly, for all my other stuff to be gone right now, the Nerd Stash is a pretty great place to be.
Well, I appreciate it, Drew. We love having you on, and also I appreciate the plug. So if you enjoyed this episode, you could also find a link to our Discord, the link for which is in the description of this very episode. If you also enjoyed this episode, you might consider leaving us a rating. It would also be awesome if it was a positive one. If you love video games or looking for another podcast to listen to, you may want to check out our gaming news podcast called Power Up and Game. On that podcast, we go over, well, trending gaming news stories around the industry. On occasion, we also have deep dive discussions about specific games, which are basically reviews, even though we don't like to call them that. Finally, be sure to check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We get lists, guides, reviews, you name it, you can find it on thenerdstash.com. I want to thank Tristan and Drew for joining me this week. I want to thank anyone for listening in. And we will see you next week.